Good morning. Good morning. Today's daf is daf chof hey. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. So let's begin. Says the Mishnah. In Korin v'lo cholten ve'in mavrin elakrov of shomeis. Rabbosai, you only do kriya, and a person cholten, remember, refers to that practice of bearing the shoulder, which we don't really do today, but was the practice in the times of the Gemara, unless, of course, you are an immediate relative of the deceased. So lemaisa, again, only if you are an immediate relative of the deceased, do you go ahead and engage in these practices. Ve'in mavrin ela amita zakufa. And Rabbosai, the people who give the Suda Savra is the meal of consolation, to the Avelim, they sit on an upright bed. Meaning, I was saying, those who are attending to the Avelim themselves do not observe the morning practices. They themselves will sit on a regular chair. Says the Gemara, Va'afilu Chacham, is this true even when it comes to Chacham? Now, I was saying, the way the Mishnah laid it out is, the only people who observe morning practices are immediate relatives of the deceased. So the Gemara says, so you make that sound like, let's say a great Talmud Chacham died, that even then, only the relatives of the Chacham would observe the mourning practices. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'hatanya, we learn, Chacham Shemes, if a Talmud Chacham dies, Hakol Krovav, everyone is considered to be his relatives. Hakol Krovav, Sakodaitcha, everybody is considered to be his relatives. What does that mean? Ella, Hakol Kikrovav, everyone is treated like his relatives, meaning that what? Hakol Korin Alav, everyone does Kriya for the Talmud Chacham. Hakol Cholzen Alav, everyone bears the shoulder for the Talmud Chacham. Vakol Mevarin Alav Birachava, and everyone eats the Suda Savra. Everyone goes ahead and eats the meal of consolation in the street. So therefore, the Mishnah seems to contradict that, because the Mishnah says the only time that you go out and observe morning practices is for immediate relatives, to which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha delav chacham. The Mishnah is not talking about the death of a Talmud Chacham. Mishnah is talking about the death of a stam person. So the Gemara says, Ve'i adam kasher hu, chiyuvi mechayiv lemikra. But one second, there's another case of an adam kasher. We'll say, it's very interesting. What is an adam kasher? So an adam kasher, the Gemara elsewhere explains, is someone who was never suspected of sin. It doesn't mean he didn't sin. Everybody sins. But in terms of his public persona, he was someone who was known as an upright individual. And this is so fascinating. So the Gemara says, when it comes to an Adam Kasher, Chiyuve Mechayev LeMikra, a person is obligated to do Kriya for an Adam Kasher. Disanya, Mipnei Banav Upanosov Shal Adam Mesek Sheketanim. They both say, why does Chas V'Shalom, a person's children die young? Kadei Sheyivke V'Yis Abel Al Adam Kasher. In order that a person should cry and should mourn for an Adam Kasher, for a proper person. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? What does that mean? Are you taking like collateral from a person that they should cry for an Adam Kasher? Rather, the Gemara says, no, Ela Mipnei Shelo Bacha V'His Avel Al Adam Kasher. I will say this is very strong. Rather, Chashum, a person's children are taken from them because they did not properly mourn for an Adam Kasher. Shekala Bocha Umis Avel Al Adam Kasher. For any person who cries and mourns for an Adam Kasher, Mochelin Lo Akol Avonosav, he is forgiven for all of his sins, Bishvil Kavod Sha'asalo, because of the covet that he did for him. So also what the Gemara seems to be saying is that if a person Chas V'Shalom, what the Gemara is not saying is that a person, God forbid, loses his children because he didn't mourn for an Adam Kasher. What the Gemara is saying over here is that because a person didn't mourn for an Adam Kasher, they lost the opportunity to potentially save their children. Why? Because when a person mourns for an Adam Kasher, they have the ability to wipe out all of their averos. So the Gemara says, Delav Adam Kasher hu, to which the Gemara says, okay, the Mishnah is not talking about a case of an Adam Kasher. So the Mishnah is not talking about a case of a Talmud Chacham, not talking about the case of an Adam Kasher. And therefore, again, that's why the Mishnah says only the relatives of this individual will engage in the mourning practices. Idik, so the Gemara says, Delav Adam Kasher. Idik hai hasam, b'shas yitzias neshama, chiyuve mechayiv. So the Gemara says, similarly, again, if you are there, let's say even in a case of a regular person, if you are present at the time that a person dies, so you should have to go ahead and what? You should have to go ahead and tear kriya. Disanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Ha'omid alameis b'shas yitzias neshama chayiv likroa. If you are standing over a person, you are there at the time that a person dies, and by the way, this is even a non-relative. This is a non-relative. If you are there at the moment that someone dies, you should tear kriya. Why? He says, "Lemazedome." To what can this be compared? Lesefer Torah shenisraf. This can be compared to a Sefer Torah that was burned. Shechayiv likroa. That if a person chas v'shalom sees a Sefer Torah being destroyed, a person has to do kriya. I will say, you hear what's amazing about this? Even if you're not an Adam Kasher, and even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you know what each of us are? Each of us are a Sefer Torah. It's amazing. It's amazing, right? Each of us are a Sefer Torah. And therefore, again, if I see, if I'm Chas V'Shalom present when someone passes away, I am obligated to tear Kriya because I have just witnessed the destruction of a Sefer Torah. So amazing. So the Gemara, so the Rosh says, so this is, again, this is a kasha on the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah makes sense, the only time you'll do Kriya is for an immediate relative. Naturally, COBI, I could do Kriya for anyone. If I'm there, and the Rosh says, you should know, halacha lemaisa, so the Mishnah answers, the Mishnah's case, bless you, it's not talking about a case where I'm present at the moment that a person dies. And the Rosh says, you should know, halacha lemaisa, we don't pask in this way, and we don't do Kriya, b'shas yitzias neshama. For a very interesting reason. The Geshar Chaim brings down, he says, that if you would obligate people to do Kriya, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. You know, I'll say Kriya is not a simple thing. Especially, you know, I said today a person has a bunch of shirts. Not a big deal. It wasn't always like that, as I mentioned before. It's the Chazal, so the Geshar Chaim says the poskim were afraid that if you would obligate a person to do Kriya, B'shas Yitzias Neshama, what would happen? People would not stay with the person at the moment of death. Ooh, things are not looking good. Let me grab a cup of coffee. Right? You know, meaning that person would not want to be obligated to tear their clothing. In order to ensure that the person who is dying not be left alone for a moment, so Chazal relaxed this restriction. So you don't have to do Kriya, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. Instead, again, we do Kriya at Levaya. And of course, the advantage you have of doing it at Levaya is what? You can choose what you're wearing. I know it sounds like a small thing in the big scheme of death, but you could go ahead and you could choose what you're wearing. You could choose what you're going to tear. It's just interesting. You might tell us an amazing story. Kinach nafshei de Rav Safra, lo kar rabban nale. When Rav Safra died, there were some of the other rabbis who did not tear Kriya. Amri lo garminan mine. And they said very simply, we know we never learned from Rav Safra. Rav Safra wasn't our Rebbe. Therefore, we have no obligation to observe mourning practices for him. Bless you. Amri lo Abayi. Bless you. Abayi says, mi tanya harav shemes. Does the Braisa say that you have to tear Kriya for a Rav, for a Rebbe that dies? Rather, no, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Chacham shemes tanya. It will say, what's the chilik between a Rav and a Talmud Chacham? So a Rav, a Rebbe, that's your teacher. A Chacham is what? Is a teacher. So Lemais again says Abaye, it's not the pshat that you only tear Kriya for your Rebbe. You tear Kriya about when you hear about the death of any Talmud Chacham. Va'od, kol yoma shmaisesei bepumin b'mei midrasha. Furthermore, said Abaye, you know, the teachings of Rav Safra are in our mouths every single day in the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says, Savar madda hava hava. So the rabbis accepted what Abaye said, but they figured, okay, you know, look, it's too late. What happened. We didn't end up tearing Kriya. Amr lo Abaye said, Tanina, we learned, Chacham kol zman sh'oskin behespit chayav nikra. So Abaye said, but 1 second, we learned that for a Talmud Chacham, Rabosai, as long as you are engaged in eulogy for the Talmud Chacham, you are permitted to go ahead and set and tear Kriya. So meaning he was saying, you can still tear Kriya, sever the mikra altar. So they figured, let's tear right now. Amr lo Abaye tanya, Chacham kivodo behespedo. So Abaye said to them, but 1 second, now they're not saying hespedim, now they're in between hespedim. Wait to go ahead and tear Kriya at the time of the eulogy itself. Kinach nafshei de Rav Huna, when Rav Huna died, savar la asuve sefer Torah apurye. Rabbi says, it's amazing. When Rav Huna died, they wanted to go ahead and place a sefer Torah on the bier, right, on the bed next to him. They wanted to place the Torah. So Rabbi says, why? What's the logic behind that? So obviously, logic behind that is to show that Rav Safra spent his life upholding the tenets of the Torah, and therefore they wanted to go ahead and put the sefer Torah literally on the bed next to him. Amalu Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra said, 1 second, Milsa, if you look at Rashi just for a moment, La Suve Sefer Torah appropriates the first short line in Rashi, Velomar, to place Sefer Torah on his funeral bed, on his bier, Velomar, Kiyem Zeh, Mashakasu Vazeh. That would be a statement. This one, i.e. Rav Safra, went ahead and fulfilled that which is written in this, in the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, excuse me, not Rav Safra, I'm sorry, Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, Amar luhu Rav Chisra. Rav Chisra said, 1 second. Milsa de bechaye lo sphere le hash de lekum le, la avid le. So Rav Chisra said, 1 second, I happen to know that Rav Huna would never have agreed to this practice in life. And now you're going to do it in death. What does that mean? The Amar Rav Tachlifa, Rav Tachlifa said, Ani ano chazisi the Rav Huna, de bay le mesev apurye. I saw Rav Huna that Rav Huna wanted to sit down on his bed. V'have munach sefer Torah alei, and there was a sefer Torah on the bed. So what did Rav Huna do? V'kaf kado a'ara. He took a barrel. He turned it upside down. He placed it on the ground. V'osif sefer Torah iluya, and he put the sefer Torah on top of the inverted barrel. Alma kasava. Therefore, you see Rav Huna holds. Aser leishev al gabi mita she sefer Torah munach alei. You cannot sit on a bed on which a Sefer Torah is lying. So we'll say, therefore, again, they said that it would be inappropriate to go ahead and do something for Rav Huna, place a Sefer Torah on his funeral bier next to his body, when we know that he himself would have been, when he would have objected to, he would have objected to this practice. So the Gemara goes weiter. Lo hava nafei pri mibava. So we'll say, now, they want to take Rav Huna's funeral bier outside of the house. And what happens? Apparently, the bed, the bier, was too wide to get through the door. So you're asking, how did they get in the first place? It's very simple. They probably took it in on its side, right? But ultimately, again, remember, obviously, they're not going to tilt it on its side. Now, they couldn't get it out straight. So what did they want to do? Savar l'shal shule derech gagin. So this is very interesting. They were going to make a breach in the roof and pull it out, like I guess like hoist it out like that. So the Gemara says, Onu rechista, hagamirna mineh, we have learned, chacham kivodo derech pesach. That it is only appropriate for a Talmud Chacham to take his funeral bier out the front door of his house. Savar la'ashnuye me'poriye le'poriye. So they decided, okay, let's just switch into another bed. Let's move into a smaller bier that we can get out the front door. Amud Rav Chisra of Chista said, Hachi gamir na mineh, we learned from him, Chacham kivodo b'mita rishonam. They're both saying that you don't start switching the funeral biers of a Talmud Chacham. The bed that he's on, that's the bed that you take him out on. How do you know that the greatest kavod to a Talmud Chacham is to take him out on the first funeral bier? That is on Shneemar Vayarkivu Esarna Alakim El Egla Chadasha Al Agala Chadasha. Excuse me. So we'll say again. They learn out. This is from David HaMelech that the Agala Chadasha was actually the first wagon on which the bless you on which the Aron was placed. Bless you. They kept the Aron on that wagon, and from here you see seeing that it's not by Kavodik to switch the Aron from wagon to wagon. It's not by Kavodik to switch the body the Talmud Chacham from bed to bed. So what do they do? So also, I said they're stuck. So what do they do? Pros bava va'afkuha pesach alei. Also, you know what they did? They broke down the doorway. You know, so I think, by the way, sometimes it's also an incredible metaphor in life. You know, sometimes, you know, you have a problem. You need to make something happen. You need to make something happen. But yet the construct in which you're living does not allow you to make it happen. Sometimes you have to knock down doorways. Sometimes you just have to knock down doorways to be able to accomplish what it is that you need to accomplish. Very powerful metaphor. So Mark goes right to Rabbi Abba, Ra'ui Haya, excuse me, Pasach Ali Rabbi Abba. So I'll say, now they're eulogizing Rav Huna. Rabbi Abba said, listen to this. Ra'ui Haya Rabbeinu, Shetishra Alav Shechina. Rav Huna could have been a Navi. The Shechina could have rested on him. Ela shebaval garmale. But rather, it was Bavel. The fact that he lived in Chutz La'aretz was the fact that he lived in Bavel prevented him from having Ruach HaKodesh, from having the Spirit of God. So we'll say, this is amazing. So listen to this. So Masir Rav Nachman raised the kasha. Masir Rav Nachman bar Chista, V'amri Rav Chanan bar Chista, Haya Dvar Hashem El Yecheskel Ben Buzia, Koin Be'eretz Kazdim. So we'll say, listen to this. So now, Rav Nachman bar Chista, goes ahead and says, what are you talking about? Now, this was is at Levaya. This is at Levaya. So Rav Nachman says, I don't understand why you say that. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and the Navi says that Yecheskel had nevuah in the Eretz, in the land of the Kazdim, which is what? Which is Chutz La'aretz. So or Jose, now inherent. So obviously, what that kasha says is you can have nevuah and Chutz La'aretz, which are both say now obviously that kind of stares the eulogy a little bit, because now what it's saying is, well, I guess Rav Huna wasn't as great as we thought he was. So I say, this is amazing. Listen to this. Tapach le'avua b'sandale. So both say Rav Nachman's father tapped him on the foot. It probably means, what it means is he kicked him in the leg, right? He kicked him in the leg and said, Amar Leh, he says to his son, Lav Amin Alecha. This is like so amazing. It's so affirming of our family dynamics, right? He said, have I not told you, Lo Tichrot Alma, don't ask your questions in public, right? Have I not told you not to always bother people with your questions? The father answers, my haya shahaya kvar. No, it happens to be, the way to interpret that pasuk is, haya dvar shal yecheskel ben buzi hakoin be'eretz kazdim. That haya means you both say, that yecheskel ben buzi, who was now in eretz kazdim, did, past tense, have nevuah when he was in Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk is not saying that he had nevuah over here in Eretz Kasdim, saying that he had nevuah earlier on. I will say, whether or not that's the upshot in the pasuk, or whether or not, again, the father was trying not to go ahead and embarrass the eulogizer is not immediate. Yeah, but certainly it's a plausible interpretation of the pasuk. So the Gemara says the following, Ki askol ha, so I will say, now they're taking the body of Rav Huna to Eretz Yisrael. So I will say, interestingly enough, we know burial in Eretz Yisrael is a major zuchus. You know, of course, we daven every single day. V'solichinu kamamius li'artzeinu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have the privilege to go in an upright position to Eretz Yisrael, not just in a lying down position to Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, burial in Eretz Yisrael is an incredible zechus. The Gemara talks about in different places that being buried in Eretz Yisrael by definition purges one of sins. It's just burial in the land of Eretz Yisrael purges one of their sins. And also the Gemara talks about that in the Messianic era when there's Tchias HaMesim, there's something called Gilgulat Samos. Whatever this means, but it means is that resurrection actually occurs in Eretz Yisrael itself. So what happens? So the Gemara talks about the fact that there'll be tunnels that are created from all places of Chutz La'aretz, and the bones, the remains of everyone, have to go ahead and roll to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara discusses that there's a pain to the neshama in that process of Gilgul, that's almost the rolling of the bones. If you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, obviously you avoid Gilgul, that's almost. There's the immediate impact of being purged of one's sins, and there's the future impact of avoiding Gilgul, that's almost. I'll be selling plots after the shiur. Right, yeah. So the Gemara goes right there. So I will say, so what happened? So they brought Rav Huna to Eretz Yisrael. They brought him to Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Amrulei, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rav Huna Asi. So they said to Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, that what? Rav Huna's here. Amru. So I will say, now here's Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi did not understand what was being told to them. They thought that what? They thought, oh, Rav Huna came to Eretz Yisrael for a visit. Rabbi Asi said, this sparks a conversation. Amru, ki avinan hasa, when we were in Bavel, lo havalan lideluye reishan minei. We cannot even lift our heads in front of Rav Huna, because Rav Huna was such a great Talmud Chacham. Hashta, asinan hacha asa basra. Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi were some of the ranking sages in Eretz Yisrael. So they were trying to figure out, now that Rav Huna is here, so what should be our halachic reality? Is he going to follow us? Because Lamaisa, again, we are kind of like the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, or should we still defer to him because he's a greater Talmud Chacham? So the person who told me this said, guys, you got it a little bit wrong. Amru Aronoba. No. Rav Huna's casket is here. Rav Huna's dead. Rav Huna's dead. We've come here to bury him. So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi went out to give their final respects to the body of Rav Huna. Rabbi Ila of Rabbi Chanina lo nafuk. And Rabbi Ina of Rabbi Chanina did not go out. Ika darmi, others say Rabbi Ila nafuk, Rabbi Chanina lo nafuk. Others say again, Rabbi Ila went out, Rabbi Chanina did not go out. So the Gemara says, denafik my timing. So we'll say those who went out to greet the Aron, what was their logic? The Sanya, Aron ha'over m'makom l'makom omdim alav b'shura. So we'll say, because the halacha is that if an Aron is traveling from one place to another, and bless you, and it arrives, bless you, and it arrives at that second place for burial, the people in that second place, bless you, should come out, stand in a line, omdim b'shura, meaning to go, that's to go ahead and console the mourners. But omr la birchas avelim, they say the special bracha for the mourners, v'ten chumi avelim, and words of consolation. So that's why they went out. D'lo nafek ma'itayma. What about the ones who did not go out? Why didn't they go out? The sanya aron ha'over mimakom lamakom in omdin alav b'shura ve'in omrin alav birkas ha'meilim v'tenchum yaveilim. Because Rabbi says another brisa, and the other brisa that says that if an aron is traveling from one place to another, when it gets to that second location or is traveling to through the location, you need not stand in a line. You need not give consolation. You need not give the bracha for the aveilim. Rabbi says, one second, kashin adadi. These two brisos go ahead and contradict each other, to which the Gemara says, lo kashya, Kan sheshalado kayemes, kan shein shalado kayemes. Well, so you know what? Shalado means the skeleton. So if the skeleton of the deceased is intact, then you are obligated to come out and give honor, give kavod ames. If the skeleton is not intact, meaning the body is decomposed to such a point that the skeleton is not intact, then lamaisa, you are not obligated to come out and give kavod to the remains of the individual. Rabbi said, obviously, Rav Huna shalado kayemes haba. I must say, obviously, Rav Huna's skeleton was intact because even though it takes a little bit of time to get from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Bipashus, the body itself is not really decomposed. So the Gemara says, so therefore, why didn't everyone come out? Lo saimua kame. Well, this is very interesting. So apparently, some of the people did not stay till the end of the shir. So they did not hear this qualification of that if the skeleton is intact, you have to go ahead and come out and greet the mace. So stay till the end of the shir so you get all of the information. Amri hecha nanche. This is amazing. So they asked that, where should we bury Rav Huna? Where should we bury Rav Huna? So the Gemara says, they said, Rav Huna rebate Torah b'Yisrael. So Rav Huna went ahead, he was a teacher, he was a Rebbe of Torah, and he literally rebates, means he was responsible for the proliferation of Torah within Klal Yisrael, Marbitz Torah, and what happened? Rabbi Chiya rebates Torah b'Yisrael. And Rabbi said, Rabbi Chiya was another great sage who went ahead and disseminated Torah in Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Chiya had a burial place in Eretz Yisrael. So they said, so they decided, you know what? We're going to bury Rav Huna right next to Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara says, fine. Man ma'ayul le. Who should take in the body of Rav Huna for burial? Rashi says over here, man ma'ayul le. Mi yelich lach niso l'kvura. Eitz Rabbi Chiya. So we'll say, for some reason, people were nervous to enter into the grave, it's more like a tomb, to the tomb of Rabbi Chiya. So who's going to enter into the tomb of Rabbi Chiya to bury Rav Huna? So Amar Lehu Rav Chaga, Ana Ma'alaino. I will take in the body of Rav Huna for burial in the tomb of Rabbi Chiya. Why? D'ukmase l'talmudai k'avina bartam nesari. First of all, I was proficient in the orders of the Talmud by the time I was 18 years old. Velo chazi li keri. I never had a seminal emission. And we'll say, now again, how exactly to interpret that? Bipashos, what that means is that when I was 18, I didn't have a seminal. At the time when, let's say, again, others would be occupied with different kinds of thoughts, my mind was occupied again with thoughts of Torah. Umashma le kame. I myself served. I served Rabbi Chiya. And I was aware of the actions of Rabbi Chiya. It tells a story. The Yom Achad, one day, is Hafecha Lehu Ritzua de Tefillin. One day, Rabbi Chiya was wearing his tefillin, and Rabbi said, the strap turned on the non-black side, turned on the other side, and Rabbi Chiya was so distressed. The Yosef Ale Arba'in Tanisa Alai, Arba Tanisa. He fasted for 40 days. He fasted for 40 days simply because, again, he was distressed that he did not fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin in the right way, even for just those couple of seconds. Okay? So I will say, so Rav Chag, so now imagine this scene. So now they've decided they're burying Rav Huna in the tomb of Rabbi Chiya, and Rav Chaga, who was a Talmud of Rav Chiya, is taking in the casket of Rav Huna. What happened? So he went in Aile. So Rav Chaga went into the tomb of Rabbi Chiya. What did he see? Gane Yehuda Mimine, Davwa, V'chizkia Mismole. So apparently Rav Chiya had two sons, Yehuda and Chizkia. Yehuda was on his father's right, and Chizkia was on his father's left. Amar Le Yehuda L'chizkia. So we'll say, this is wild. So what happens? So the neshamas are there. So Yehuda, so the deceased son Yehuda, says to his brother Chizkia, Kum miduchtech, get up, stand up. To lav orech ara dekaim Rav Huna bahadi. Excuse me, dekaim Rav Huna, because it's not appropriate that we should be lying down and Rav Huna was standing up. I will say now, what's interesting about this is what it almost sounds like is that they brought in. We'll see this actually. So they brought in the casket of Rav Huna standing up. Standing up. Now, it could be that it was lowered into the ground. That's how caskets were lowered. I mean, there's nothing wrong. You don't have to bury someone lying down. If you could bury someone, technically speaking, standing up as well. So it seems to be over here that the casket is standing up. It could be that just as how they needed to get it into the tomb itself. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't tell us those details. So the Gemara says, Bahadi dekaim, as Chizkiah and Yehuda were getting up, a pillar of fire descended from above. Chazei Rav Chaga. Rav Chaga got very nervous. He got scared. He became frightened. Zokfei la'arone v'nafik. Abba said, listen to this. He literally shielded himself with the casket of Rav Huna. It was the casket of Rav Huna that prevented him from being harmed by this fire. V'nafik, and he left too. So meaning he did his job. He placed the remains of the body of Rav Huna in this tomb of Rabbi Chiya, and he left. V'hai deloe inish anish v'shun dezakfei la'arona d'Rav Huna. And the only reason he escaped being burned by the fire, escaped the punishment, is because he hid behind the casket of Rav Huna. Okay. Kinach nafshei d'Rav Chiya. So that is the end of that maisa. I'm sorry? Correct. Now we know why no one wants to go into... Apparently, again, I don't know why they had this idea already that it wouldn't be so possible to get into the tomb of Rabbi Chiya. But that's what I was saying. I want to point out, not for today, there is a lot of... So some of the Mefarshim, the Meiri, other Mefarshim have a piece where they interpret this through a little bit more metaphorically, but this will do for us for today. Someone goes weiter. Kinach nafshei d'Rav Chista, savar la'asuvei sefer Torah apriya. So we'll say another story. Rav Chista died. When Rav Chista died, they were going to go ahead and place a sefer Torah on his bed. On his funeral bier, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak. So we'll say this now. Rav Chista, Rabbi Yitzchak said, "No, milsa del Rabbi lo sirelei anon nekom naavidlei." So something that I know that my Rebbe Rav Chista would not have done during his lifetime, meaning lay down on a bed or sit on a bed where there was a sefer Torah, we should do for him now in his death. Sover delo lemishlal karaihu. So we'll say they figured that. Remember again, for Rav Chista was a ranking sage. Everybody did kriya. They figured that they would not be allowed to stitch up that kriya. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ami, Chacham, when it comes to Talmud Chacham, Kevan shechziru pneya me'achori hamito, once people begin to take leave of the funeral bier itself, Sholalin, you're permitted to go ahead and loosely stitch up the tear. Kinach nafshei d'rabba barafuna, Kinach nafshei d'rabba barafuna v'rav hamluna. So this is an amazing story. Rabba barafuna and Rav Hamnuna both died. They died in Bavel. Their bodies are being transported together to Eretz Yisrael for burial. What happened? Asiknu lahasam. They went ahead and asiknu lahasam. Their bodies are being brought to Eretz Yisrael. Kimatu agishra. Now imagine this. So the caskets essentially are being carried on two camels. Each one is being carried on a camel. They get to a bridge. What happened? So kimatu agishra kamu gamle. Amar lehu, so what happened? Neither of the camels would go. So apparently, again, the bridge was only wide enough for one camel at a time. Neither camel would move. Amar lehu taya mihai. So there was an Arab who was helping with the procession, right? He was helping with the procession. So what happened? I guess maybe he was like the caravan leader. So he says, mihai, what's going on over here? Amru lehi, so the rabbis, the people who were there said, Rabbanan deka'avdi yikra ahadadi. The rabbis, even in death, are giving honor one to the other. Mar Amar Mar Neil Beresha. One is saying, please, you go first. Umar Amar Mar Neil Beresha. And the other one is saying, what? You go first. So even their neshamas are having deference towards one another. And therefore, again, the camels, neither one will go because the mice, again, they're arguing as to who should go first. So listen to this. So the Arab inserts himself into this discussion. Amar Dinohu. So the Arab says, you know what? I think that Rabbi Barav Huna should go first. So he's saying, in my opinion, Rabbi Barav Huna was the greatest sage, and therefore he should go ahead and go first. So the Gemara says, interesting enough, Chalif Kamli Rabbi Barav Huna. So what happened? Sure enough, the camel of Rabbi Barav Huna went first on the bridge. However, Nasur Kabre Vishine Dehutaya. But little Abosai, the teeth. And literally means the jaw of this Arab fell out. I mean, Abbas said, what that means is that somehow he himself was punished for ultimately weighing in on which of these sages was greater. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Pasach alei da hahu yinuk. So also listen to this. So now they were eulogized. Pasach alei hahu yinuka. So this is talking about now in the value of Rav Hamnuna. So this is the Levayan Avra Hamuna. So they started eulogizing him and they said the following. Gaza Yeshishim Alami Bavel. The student of Tamdi Chacham of sages has come up from Bavel. Ve'imo Sefer Melchamos. And with him is the Book of Battle. The Book of Battle both is a reference to Sefer Torah. Ka'os v'kapot huchpulu. Ka'os v'kupo huchpulu. So Rashi points out, Kolos v'kupa are different kinds of birds. But in fact, Rashi brings down over here that it's a reference to klala. It's a reference to klala, that literally curse has now devolved upon the earth with the absence of Rav Hamnuna. Liros b'shod b'shever haba b'shinar. We see the destruction and the death that comes from Shinar, reference to Bavel. Katzaf al olamo. God has gotten angry at his world, the chamas mimeron nefashos, and has snatched the neshamas from it. The samach bahem, but God is happy with the new neshamas that he has now has near him, kekala chadasha, like a brand new bride, rochev aravos, literally riding on the celestial spheres, sas v'samach bevo elav nefesh naki v'tzadik, because he rejoices when the souls of the righteous come before him. So we'll say this was the eulogy for Rav Hamnuna. Okay, one of the eulogies. Kinach nafshe di Ravina, when Ravina died, pasach aleihu saptana. When Ravina died, so they were, we'll say, a saptan is, they often had like professional eulogizers, like people ultimately, again, they were eloquent speakers. So you would give them the information about your loved one, and they would go ahead and they would deliver a eulogy, crying and everything. Like the whole mamash. I mean, that was like the gold package. But you know, you got everything. You got everything with this saptan. Insert name here, right? No, the truth is, to their credit, is they didn't like you reuse the same stuff. They were very creative. They were able to find words that, and mostly this really is like, there are people like that, by the way. There are people that are, I don't mean like good orators. I mean, there are people who are sensitive enough that they're really able, they possess incredible and deep wellsprings of empathy, and they are able to feel the pain of another person, like in a real non-contrived sense. So the saptan goes ahead. Saptan, so this is the death of Ravina. So the saptan says, Timarim heniyu rosh al tzadik, katamar. So this was such a beautiful phrase, that literally the palm trees, the date palms, should bend their heads on the tzaddik who is like a tamar, who is like a palm tree. We'll say, what is he talking about? Tzaddik katamar yifrach. Right? That literally the righteous will sprout like the date palm. Nosim, listen how beautiful this is. Nosim lelos kiyamim, al mesim lelos kiyamim. Let us make our nights like days, meaning let us mourn by night just like we mourn by day, for the person who made his nights like his days, meaning that he didn't only learn Torah in the days, but rather his Talmud Torah extends into the night. Such a beautiful lashon. That was the hesped. Amar Rav Ashi the Bar Kippuk. I'll say this is amazing. So Rav Ashi said to Bar Kippuk. Now Bar Kippuk. Rashi says over here. Actually, Rashi points out how Bar Kippuk u Bar Avin. In Rashi's Girsa, he actually was talking to two people, Bar Kippuk and Bar Avin. And Rashi's Havu Saptani. They were eulogizers. So Ravashi says to them, tell me, Hahu Yoma, the day that I die, you have to eulogize me. My Amrit. Well, says, interesting thing. You know, if you could tell me, if you could submit your eulogy to me in writing, you know, I would like to edit it a little bit. What was Ravashi asking? Ravashi was asking a very profound question. What he wants to know is, like, what do people think of me? Right? I'm curious, like, I'll say it is interesting if you think about it. You know, Chazal tell us we do all hear our own eulogies because the neshama is present at the time when eulogies occur. But it is interesting to see how people are remembered or what is remembered. So he asks Bar Kippuk, then what are you going to say? Amar Leis, or Bar Kippuk, I'm going to say like this, Amina, im ba'arozim nafla shal heves, ma ya'asu ezovekir. I will say, if the fire could burn down the mighty cedars, then what will the wall hyssops do? I will say this is now again. The mighty cedar is a reference to Ravashi. The fire is a reference to death. So if death could take Ravashi, what does it mean for us? Leviathan bechikahuala. The Leviathan, the Leviathan, has been caught by a fishing hook. Again, so the Leviathan again is a reference once again to Ravashi. The fishing hook is death. Maya asu dagei rakak. If the Leviathan could be caught, then what are the guppies? You know, what are the little fish gonna do? Benachal shotev naflachika. In what was a raging stream, dryness has now come about. Ma yaasu megavim. What will the ponds do? Meaning, if the mighty sources of water could run dry, then what will the ponds do? Amar le bar avin chas v'shalom dechika v'shalheves b'tzadiki amini. I'm sorry, Amar Le Bar Avin, excuse me. So Bar Avin said to him, But Avin said to him, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that again, that literally drought and fire should come upon tzaddikim. Umay amrit, amina bachu la'aveilim velo la'aveda. What I meant to say was that you should go ahead and you should cry for the Avelim and not for that which has been lost, because the one who has died is in a state of Menucha, and we, those who are left behind, are in a state of agony. Chalosh da'ate. So Rav Ashi, I feel like I skipped a line here. Did I skip something? No, fine. Chalosh da'ate. So we'll say Rav Ashi was very distressed by this. Well, obviously very distressed because he didn't like the idea that they were comparing his death to destruction. He felt that makes it feel is that somehow my death is going to have negative repercussions and impact on others. And he just didn't like the way that sounded. So what happened? He got upset. Is hapuch karaihu. Literally, I will say, the feet of Bar Abin and Bar Kipuk went ahead and turned sideways. I will say, what that means is that somehow because they caused Rav Ashi this distress, so they suffered, something happened with their feet. Hahu yoma lo asu laspude. And therefore, on that particular day, I read those lines wrong. So really, Amarle Bar Avin was Rav Ashi saying to Bar Avin, Chas Hashem Dechig, okay, fine. You get the point that Rav Ashi ultimately was very distressed by the eulogies that these two individuals were going to have in store for him. So what happened? So as a result of his distress, their legs turned around. They were unable that day to go and deliver Aspedim. Rav Ashi said, Lo Bar Kipuk Chalitz, Lo Bar Avin Chalitz. We'll say that they used to say, Rav Ashi said, that neither Bar Kipuk or Bar Avin could do Chalitza. We'll say, what does it mean they can't do Chalitza? Remember, Chalitza has to do with the removal of the shoe. So something happened with their feet, that their feet were somewhat turned, so they didn't have regular shoes. So that's, they say again, Bar Abin and Bar Kipuk were unable to do Chalitza. Okay. Rava, ki hava asala diglas, omule Bar Avin, kum ema milsa. Rava, when he came to diglas, so he said to Bar Avin, get up, tell me something. So, koi va amar. Bo'u wrote, so he said, when I will say, if you look at Rashi, he says over here, he says, not yet. So what did Bar Avin say? Bo'u rov shlishes b'mayim, zohor v'rachim ta'inu me'acharecha, ki isha mi'bayla, al taznichenu ka'os mi'mara. So Bosa again. So what did Bar Avin say? He said literally, "Ba'o rov shlishes b'mayim." A third of the world has come into water. Has come under water. Rashi says over here, "Rov shlishes yisol nikru shlishes v'rava shakul kerov yistral." But amrle kum va'amr milsa kolamar bike shachem. I will say now, Rashi tells us what's unfolding over here. When Rava comes to Diglas, which is by the Tigris River, so he tells Bar Avin, "Daven for us." So Rabbi, I said, it's not a eulogy. Rabbi Bar Avin, what does he daven? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are like the one-third, Klali says like the one-third of the earth that is submerged underwater. Zocher v'rachim, remember us, have compassion upon us. Ta'inu me'acharecha, we have literally strayed from behind you. Ki isha mi'bayla, sometimes like a woman strays from her husband. Al taz nichenu, but do not forsake us. Ka'os mimara. Even though again, let you do for us, create for us a covenant, even though we have rebelled against you. I'm sorry? It's mimara. Mimara. So Rav Chanin, Chasnei Debein Asiya, Hava. So also Rav Chanin, another gripping story. Rav Chanin was the son-in-law of the Nasi. Loka Havu Le Bni. He didn't have children. So what happened? Bai Rachameh, he davened for children of Havu Lehu. And he finally had a child. Hahu Yoma, on that day, Hahu Yoma, the Hava Le Nach Nafshe. Rav also said, on the day that Rav Chanin had a son, he died. Meaning, he being Rav Chanin died. On the day that the baby was born, Rav Chanin died. Pasach aleihu satan. So, can you imagine this? They're eulogizing Rav Chanin, and they said the following: Simcha letuga nepcha. Our simcha has turned. We'll say tuga means suffering, means mourning. Our simcha has turned to suffering. Sason viyagon nidbeku. Literally rejoicing, and yago means pain, have been joined. Be'is simchaso ne'enach, at the time of his joy he sighed. Be'is chaninaso avad chanino, at the time of his favor he lost the favor. Asiku leich, okay, so I'll say that was the eulogy. Asiku lechanan al shmei, and they named the baby Hanan for his father. Ki nach nafshe Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan died, pasach al Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar began to eulogize him. Kash shayon Yisrael. Today is as difficult a day for Klal Yisrael. Ki yom ba shemesh betzarayim, as the day on which the sun set in the middle of the day. When did the sun set in the middle of the day? Dichsiv v'hayah bayamahu v'hevesi shemesh betzarayim. It will be on that day that I will go ahead and cause the sun to set in midday. But Rabbi Yochanan says, what does that refer to? Zayom Shoshio. That is the day that Yoshio was killed. But also remember, we read about Yoshio on Tisha B'Av. Yoshio, again, was one of the last righteous kings of Yehuda. And with his death, essentially, comes the demise of Klal Yisrael. So the day on which Yoshio died, it says the Gemara, was like a day in which the sun set midday. Kinach Nafshei Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan died, Yosef Rabbi Ami Shiva Ushloshim. Rabbi Ami sat Shiva and Shloshim for him. Am Rabbi Abba Breid Rav Chiyak Bar Abba Rabbi Ami Da Ovid Ligarmehu Da Ovid. Remember, when Rabbi Ami sat Shiva and Shloshim for Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Ami was going according to his... That's not the halacha. That was Rabbi Ami's own personal opinion. He was going according to his personal opinion. Da Haki Am Rav Chiyak Bar Abba Am Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Rabbo Shalim Do Chachma. Even if one's Rebbe, who taught him the majority of his wisdom, dies... Eino Yoshev Alav Ela Yom Echad. You are not obligated to sit Shiva and Shloshim, rather what? You're obligated to observe one period of mourning, just for one part of one day. Kinach Nashed Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera died, Pasach Aleihu Sapdano, a eulogizer began to say about him, Ene Eretz Shinar Harav Yalada, the land of Shinar, which is a reference to the land of Bavel, conceived and gave birth. So the land of Bavel conceived, bore, and gave birth to this man, Eretz Tzvi Gidla Sha'ashu'eha. Eretz Tzvi, Rabbi Yossi, is a reference to what? To Eretz Yisrael. So Bavel gave birth, bore and gave birth to him. Eretz Yisrael raised him, Sha'ashu'eha, and he became the delight of Eretz Yisrael. Oy na la amra rekes, ki avda kli chemdasa. Rekes says, oy, rekes says, wotas, Rabbi Yossi, rekes is tereria, because literally the instrument of her delight has been lost. We'll say, let's do one more piece. So the Gemara says, goes weiter. Kinach Nashid Rabbi Avohu, this is amazing. Rabbi Avohu died. Achisum amude de Kisari Maya. The pillars of Caesarea literally began, water began to come out of the pillars of Caesarea, almost showing that what? The pillars were crying. The pillars were crying over the death of Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Asi, when Rabbi Asi died, Shavu Marzave de Tzipri Dama. Literally, the gutters of Tzipori began to, blood began to spout out of the gutters of Tzipori. The Rabbi Yaakov, Ischamiu Kochavi Biyamama. We'll say for Rabbi Yaakov, no, we'll stop over here, because it's going to go on a little bit. We'll pick up right over here tomorrow. So again, in this theme, what the Gemara is talking about are the ways in which when certain great people died, again, even the physical world began to mourn again with the inhabitants of that particular place. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up again four lines up from the bottom in Mirat Hashem tomorrow.